This is Matt Sauer with the RhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
This is Stacy Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
And you're listening to Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
Podcast.
Hosted by Aaron Montgomery and Terry Combs.
Keep on listening.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, November 20th, 2020. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Terry, today we're going to be talking to industry veteran Charlie Tablieb. And, I think I'm getting that right. it's been, 15 years or something like that since I've known him, so you'd think I'd get his name right. But no, Charlie's like going to be...
It's like something about Sally or whatever that show was, Mary.
Yes, indeed. That's a good one. That's a good point. We're going to be talking to Charlie here in a little bit. And my guess is this is going to be a fun conversation, and I get to sit back and listen to you and Charlie just talk about old times,
talk about the day.
it'll be a blast. So looking forward to that. Also, Terry, we are going to have, in fact, we're going to dive right into this here in just a moment. At the end, we're going to have Eric bringing five things to us today. So five things is back. That's great. But right now, Terry, let's go ahead and bring in our guests from Impressions Expo. We've got with us here Jamar and Josh, Josh Carruth and Jamar Lassiter from Impressions Expo. Gentlemen, welcome into the show.
How's it going?
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Jamar, let's start with changes to the show schedule. We talk on here just about every week, kind of keeping people updated. So now we get to have live update on 2021 about Impressions Expo.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to let Josh talk a little bit more about that as the show director. Josh, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. So as a lot of you might have seen, we actually announced our show schedule for 2021. Looks a lot different than what 2020 was supposed to. We've taken these past few months, as everybody has, and really tried to figure out what's going on and asking everybody, done a lot of surveys. Thank you to all the regulators who might have taken part of those surveys, but it really helped shape our year. In the interest of having the most chance at a successful event, as we all want to get back to, we decided to move everything out of Q1. That includes Long Beach, which has been in January now for over 20 years. And it will stage in April. And subsequently, Atlantic City hop from March to June. And Fort Worth is situated where it normally is. And you might notice there's two missing from that lineup, which were the very regional events that were kind of traveling through the Gulf Coast, and the Orlando event, which has... staged once in the last 4 years due to two hurricanes and a global pandemic. So we just thought it pertinent that or prudent that maybe it wasn't the best year to try to launch a show next year or try to revive Orlando, which in the 1 year we staged, for anybody that was there, was bananas for the size of the show. It was really great. But we heard everybody. We heard that next year let's go with the established shows that where confidence is there, and if it's safe to have. Of course, all this is assuming that we are in a position where we can have the show and that we're confident we can provide a safe environment. For reference, we actually just staged our first live event as an event production company as Emerald 2 weeks ago since the lockdown. And I was fortunate enough to be on the team due to proximity, because it was in Gatlinburg and I'm in Atlanta, to go to it and to witness the health and safety protocols and procedures that went into place, how a real live event happened, a real live trade show. And it was not only heartwarming, because I know we all love those, but everybody there was so excited to be there, from the buyers to the exhibitors. It was a little smaller. Obviously, but those who were there meant business, and it was really encouraging and really kind of help me personally bring come back out from kind of a, okay, we've been shut down. We've been shut down. Oh, it can happen. It is possible. So we're excited for next year when it comes to the live events, and pretty confident that we can stage them successfully. But obviously we will continue to monitor everything as it changes day by day.
Yeah, indeed. Big bold letters, subject to change, correct?
Yeah, the asterisk is just assumed at this point in 2021.
Yeah, totally. Well, one of the regulators, Jim Kazikas, says, I think the Q2 Atlantic City move was a great move. So good feedback there for you guys. I know you guys have another big announcement for January. Who wants to tell us about that?
That'll be me.
All right.
So I think, like Josh said, moving the from January, April left obviously a little bit of a void on the calendar. And so what we decided was we needed to figure out a way to host an event and just give our customers that experience. Yeah. And so what we decided was to come up with an opportunity where for our decorator customers and our exhibitor customers, we can replicate that live event experience. And so we came up with Impressions Connect, which is going to be a virtual event that we'll be hosting in January. On the content side, we'll have exclusive Impress You content, which is from our conference program. It'll be really dynamic. We'll have supplier-generated content that'll be sponsored. It'll be a chance for all of our attendees to see that content and interact with it. And then it'll also offer a way for business people to connect to their customers. We're talking about people being able to search for new products, interact with each other, consume rich content. We've kind of added an element that will replicate a live event. And the beauty of it is it'll be all able, you can access it from anywhere. So if you're sitting at home, if you're on the couch and you feel like, hey, I think this would be a good time for me to go to the show and experience the show, you can do that. If you're at the gym and you hop off a treadmill and you say, hey, I want to check in at the show in an exhibitor's booth, you'll be able to do that. It's not live interaction that we'll be replicating, but it'll be based on email. So you don't have to feel that pressure to stay logged onto the platform to interact with customers and vice versa. They'll get email notifications, and then you can schedule your time to talk with attendees and vice versa. So we think it'll be really dynamic. It's a way for us to be considerate of people's schedules because, you know, let's be honest, we're not all walking in a trade show floor on the trade show floor. Yeah. So everybody has a different schedule. So we can really be considerate. And it was thoughtfully built because these are the features that our customers, when we reached out to them, they said they wanted this. They wanted that flexibility. So this is the way that we feel like we can do that. The other cool thing is, be on the platform that most of our customers are already familiar with. So there's not a huge learning curve there. So it's the same platform, just a few more bells and whistles. It really ties into our strategy for, going into digital. We've got brand consolidation initiatives and just a big suite of capabilities that we can offer our customers.
That's awesome. So I can now have my Impressions Expo St. Louis event right here in the comfort of my own home.
And Aaron, do you feel like that afterwards we're going to have a craving for wings and beer? I think so.
I pretty much have that.
There's even discussion forums where speakers can have happy hours where you can have wings and beer and chat with people. So I love it. As Jamar said, we really tried to sit back and watch what was happening. Listen to people's experiences with other virtual events. You know, this is not first to market. We know that's the case, and we've intentionally done that so that we can kind of learn what's going on. We know people are tired of digital. And so one thing I thought was cool that Jamar mentioned was the passive nature, yet still relatively live interaction. It's all email based. You don't have to sit there from 9 to 5 and wait people, you know, to make it to a booth at a certain time or to have somebody come in. And it's just kind of designed that way to give you the content and the connection. Some people don't want the content. A lot of people do. So it was overwhelming in our surveys that Jamar alluded to. What kind of the three things on both sides, because we have two sets of customers as an event company, right? We have the decorators who come and we have the suppliers who come.
Sure.
And it was overwhelmingly in favor of similar items. So we kind of went, oh, all right, I guess this is what we need to build. So really, really, really excited about that. It's the next step, and it's a precursor to another project we're working on that kind of falls in this this content and accessibility kind of realm that we'll be really excited to talk about when we have more information about that. But
well, Josh, it's just the four of us. Why don't you?
it's all exciting stuff. This has been like, I mean, I'm sure you guys are the same, but like one of the busiest years on record in my career. And from a show producer, we staged one show. Now it was like a heck of a show. Long Beach was good this year. But then it was zero from then on out. And we have been pedal mashed full down. Yeah. That's what we say in Georgia. I'm trying to come up with these solutions and listen to everybody. And it's just been amazing that everybody who we've talked to and the stories they've shared. And, you know, we thank you, the decorators, for sharing those stories, because it has, you know, given us inspiration and in the direction that we're trying to go.
Yeah.
Well, this event, you said January, is there any more specific dates that you can share with us right now?
Well, so roughly the last week in January, first week in February is kind of what we're shooting for. But we know it's going to be timed over when Long Beach would have been. You know, we want to see how people are comfortable with it. You know, this is as Jamar mentioned, it's a platform that is tied into what we use for our live events. But people have to get in and understand it. You know, we need you to be able to go in and fill out your profile, because that's what helps with the matchmaking and connecting with the right people. And we just want to make sure we don't rush everybody. So we got a nice long runway. We know when we're going to do it. And we know when other events are scheduled. So we don't want to overlap with those, you know, always. We know our event professionals in this space, we all work well together. We all understand that we can help each other. So you want to be considerate of that as some other things are being finalized. But that is when it will be, roughly, in that 2-week span. For a little bit more insight, you know, the show itself will be probably condensed down to a week, and there will be a week prior for discovery to go in and fill out profiles and identify, you know, sessions you want to watch, send emails to speakers about questions and things like that, where some engagement can happen. And then the appointments and the content all roll out within a week. That's where the availability is. And then it will stay live for a little bit. So like, as Jamar mentioned, it's based around everyone's schedule. If you know you want to see some things and you didn't have time to sit down and do it this week, don't worry. You'll be able to log back in next week, and still see that same content and still engage with the creators of that content, be it the Impress You speaking staff or the suppliers who have sponsored content on there. So, it's kind of a flexible, I guess, is the name of the game.
Okay.
Very good. So any other news items you gentlemen would like to share with us?
And Terry, can I jump in there before they do that, though? Because there is a question from one of the regulators here. Charles had a question that I think fits perfectly here before we get there. It says, do you plan on continuing with virtual experiences to supplement live shows in the future?
That is a good question.
Charles, you are insightful. So one of the reasons that the platform we chose, because we've been using with our live events, is because it has robust capabilities that we'd never really tapped into. So if we all have to learn a new platform, why not learn the one that's already attached to all of the live events and makes a seamless transition and allows for more digital engagement, more value to be added, that's been right there under our noses the entire time. And we try to get people to kind of adopt this. This is a way for everybody to really take a chance and see it and go, dang, you know, this is something I would look forward to in planning my visit, whether I'm going to a live event or not.
Yeah.
So absolutely 100%, Charles, that is the game. The game plan is it will become part of the live and hybrid experience.
Excellent. Awesome. All right, Terry, now you can go. Sorry.
just asking if there's anything else you guys want to share with our listeners.
Well, there's a lot I want to share, Terry, but I can't right now. But Jamar, maybe I'll hand this off to him.
Yeah, I can share just a couple of things. On the magazine front, we are looking forward to hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully being able to resume our Impressions Awards competition this year. It's obvious, you know, we had to halt it in 2020 just because with the pandemic and everything, it wouldn't have been the most considerate thing to do to ask decorators who were trying to save their businesses to also take some time out to decorate a shirt to send in for a competition. Yeah. Much less try to figure out how to judge it, given the fact that we didn't even have a Fort Worth show. So we're hopeful that we can continue that program. And as always, we've got great content online at impressionsmagazine.com. We've got our newsletters for everybody that's interested in signing up to be a part of that community. Digital editions always coming out as well, which is a digital replica of the print magazine. So we still have those offerings in place, and we welcome everybody who wants to sign up to be a part of our community, the Impressions community. Please go to the website, impressionsmagazine.com, to sign up. Also, impressionsexpo.com to find out more information when it's available about our shows and about the Impressions Connect event as well.
Fantastic. Aaron, you appear to be frozen. So where can folks find you guys?
So for information right now about the shows and the upcoming Connect event, you can head to impressionsexpo.com. And once everything's up and live, it'll link out to the actual sites for the virtual event. All the information in the 2021 shows is there now. Mm-hmm. And for the magazine, Jamar?
Magazine is at impressionsmagazine.com. Great content online, all updated. We've got our digital editions there as well. So opportunities to sign up for our newsletters, our Impressions newsletter, which goes out 2 times a month. We've also got our Impressions product guide. Plenty of information, plenty of resources for people to come check us out. So feel free to head to impressionsmagazine.com.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you keep us posted and updated, and we will share all that information with our listeners. And thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you. And tell Aaron that I'm sorry. Sometimes when I talk, people just tend to freeze up. So it's probably my fault.
Thanks, gentlemen. Awesome. We appreciate it.
You guys have a good, safe Thanksgiving.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care.
All right. Well, I don't know if we're going to have Aaron back on here or not in the near future. Eric, I don't know if you have an update for us on his status, but I can jump in. And I think
here's Eric. The thing, because I am at least on mic, I'm in my bunker in my home office, so it's not going to be as lovely as Aaron's background is or anything. But looks like he is currently bounced out, folks. So we may be doing this ourselves for a moment until we get him back on. So we'll just have to see what's going on there, folks. But for right now, yeah, Aaron is currently off screen. So it looks like Terry, he really is going to get to be in the background while you discuss.
This is too bad because I have a great dad joke. It's kind of sad though. Are you ready to hear a sad dad joke?
Let's go with the dad joke anyway. I mean, I can still press buttons while I'm here listening.
All right. Well, here's my dad joke. Eric, did you know that my high school bully still takes my lunch money?
Really?
It's kind of sad, but it's true. But on a positive note, he makes a great Subway sandwich. And what you guys can't see in our notes, I have Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah,
in our notes.
I wish I had time to put Biff from Back to the Future on there. I like that. I'm like McFly. Yeah, no. But we had to love the dad joke. The dad joke is great. You can't go without the dad joke. I know now it's gotten to the point where on my show, people are expecting, they're like waiting for me to start the dad joke. I think I'm going to go with embroidery memes. That'll be my thing. So tune in later today and I'll be putting up embroidery memes as my answer, my elder millennial answer to the dad joke. All right.
Well, hey, Eric, before we dive in, we want to thank everyone for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. If you are listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate you sharing with your friends so they can become regulators too. Plus, we would love and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever it is that you're listening to the show right now. We are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2. That's the number 2, regular guys. And give us your show ideas. We love to hear new ideas and love to have new folks on the show. If you are watching us live right now on Facebook, join in with your comments and questions. Reach out to your industry friends right now and have them join us as well.
Absolutely. All right. You're on Facebook, hit that share button and get everybody in, because this is going to be some great content. We already, before we started, Charlie was already doing the show and telling, getting us on some of this history early on. So I know that it's going to be awesome and I cannot wait to listen in.
All right. Well, let's, I guess we don't see Aaron.
No, Aaron is still out. He is, I'm going to go ahead and let you know in the background. He let me know he's restarting his router. He is absolutely down right now. So, so looks like I'm just going to be here in the background and letting you talk to Charlie. But
all right. Well, let's bring Charlie in. And if you're in the screen printing industry for more than a week, you know who Charlie Taubley is. Charlie is an industry icon whose education and training has reached around the world many times. In fact, I was at an airport in Frankfurt, Germany, and seeing all these bags coming off, and they were all matching. And I look over, and it's Charlie and his wife. And so he is out there, here, there, around the world. So, Charlie, welcome into the show. Can we bring him in, Eric?
There we are.
All right, Charlie, welcome.
Hi guys, how are you?
Awesome. So Charlie, let's go back to day one. How and when did you get involved in the decorated apparel industry?
All right. Well, it's not really a pretty picture, but I'll outline it for you. I was a graphic designer for ABC Television or ABC Network, which included ABC Radio, TV, etc. Thought I would be an artist for the rest of my life doing paste up mechanicals, et cetera. That's 1976. In any event, I was asked to do the button that was going to be given out at the Wings concert tour in Madison Square Garden. And so I was working on that when a friend of the family came up to visit me and saw what I was doing. He had been the royalties accountant for Dell Publishing and hated being in the corporate world. So he dropped out of that and was now selling t-shirts on the street at concerts. So he saw what I was working on, asked if I could blow that up so he could put it on a t-shirt. So I blew it up. Back in those days, we did stats, which I'm sure most of you don't even know what the hell it was. It was paper instead of being on film, it was paper, etc. Anyway, I made it into a three-color job to go on a black shirt. And the only reason I understood black shirts, ABC Network had its own in-house print department, and I had a friend who was working in there, and he kind of let me do what I wanted. So I would do things instead of being on white paper, go on black paper. So I got an understanding of how to work in reverse, which may not sound like much today, but back in those days, that was really pretty cutting edge. In any event, I broke it down to a three-color job, and he took it to the guy who was doing his printing. The guy was using text dyes, so I was given a shirt. And I think if I dig around, I might be able to find it, my first shirt. So it was just the Wings logo and 1976, and that was that. Washed it once, and you could barely see anything afterwards. It just washed out. came back a week later and said, hey, can you do something more creative than just copying their logo? So I did a four-color job for him. And that did sell well. Wings will sell no matter what. I mean, when you do 6 days at the Garden, you're going to move a lot of t-shirts. In any event, these were all bootlegs.
Paul McCartney, if he's listening right now, he'll...
That was me. What was funny about that, do you know that the Beatles never copyrighted? So we used to do the Beatles shows. And we could do their likenesses dressed as the Beatles, but we couldn't do Paul McCartney as Paul McCartney.
Huh.
For whatever reason. In any event, he came back and said, hey, you have a bunch of freelance accounts besides what you do here. Why don't we open up a screen print shop, take your freelance accounts with you and work on those and do the designing for me for the t-shirts. And I was 28 at the time, probably not very smart. Not that I've gotten smarter over the years, but certainly I wasn't back then. Lunchtime came. We jumped in his car. So ABC Network is on 54th and 6th Avenue. Jumped in his car, drove to Brooklyn to Bedford-Stuyvesant, which if you don't know anything about Bedford-Stuyvesant, going to Harlem was really an upbeat situation as opposed to down compared to Bedford-Stuyvesant. In any event, we went in, saw a building. We rented 15,000 square feet on day one, came back to ABC, quit my job, went home, and then told my wife. Not the way you should do things. So I left a job that paid quite well to a industry that didn't pay very well. But we specialized in rock and roll. And we pretty much had every concert in the country covered. Some groups I never heard of that we would still do shirts and stuff. But everything was bootleg. I had about 300 guys on the road selling everywhere. So we would get a call after the way in, after the way out, meaning you have a way in, which is people going into the concert. You have the way out, people leaving the concert. And we would sell in the parking lots, et cetera. But I had about 300 guys on the road. And after the show was over and they counted up what they were, they would call us and it'd be like 3-4 in the morning, how many shirts they needed the next day. So if the show was in Kansas City, you know, I get a call, I need 500 shirts in Kansas City by the time the show was about to start. Okay, get into the factory in the morning, crank up the press, knock out the 500 shirts, box them, take them to the airport, slip the baggage handler about $100 so that we had excess baggage, you know, $100, 30 cases onto the plane. And the reason you had to do that, if you went freight, freight doesn't get unloaded until the end. So it would be like 10 o'clock at night otherwise. This way, as the plane landed, those boxes would come off. My guys would be at the airport waiting for them. You have to understand, airports were not what they are today. In any event, they would grab the boxes and they were off and running.
That's crazy.
And so I did that for about 5 years. Actually, there's a book, and I don't have it down here, that has a bunch of my shirts in it. It's called T-Shirts, The Golden Years of Rock and Roll. And it's a guy's collection, and the guy obviously loved a lot of my stuff. He never knew who anybody was. But the best thing about being a bootlegger, we never got returns. we don't know if they washed out or not. But the shirts in at that time sold for $3 in the parking lot. And the quote unquote, the inside shirt, the legitimate shirt, sold for $5 indoors. We actually started the whole thing about printing on both sides of the shirt. We did a Leonard Skinner design that was horrible and we couldn't sell it. And so we came up with another design that was fantastic. And we decided, you know, we've got all these hundreds of shirts, could have been thousands, who knows. Why don't we print the back of them to try and get rid of these damn things? So we did. And not only did it go over well, but my guys were able to pick up some extra money. So those went for $5 a piece instead of three. And it was kind of like, well, shit, if the only thing we have to do is print the other side and pick up an extra $2, we'll do that for all the shows. So what we started doing was the group shot in the front, and we always did faces. That was one of the things. We didn't necessarily follow all the album covers, but we knew that faces sold. And so we did a very good job on that. And then we would put the concert schedule on the back. And so that was the whole thing of two-sided shirts. We didn't do it because we were smart. We did it because we needed to bail out. I mean, what the hell do you do with thousands of shirts?
Anyway, that's hilarious. That was my
early beginings. And
Charlie, did your guys ever get busted in the parking lot for selling these shirts? Or?
I got busted. I would, you know, it was, I remember doing a show at Madison Square Garden. I forget who it was. And of course, the cops were out. And yeah, if they caught you, they would take you into the precinct. They would take away your shirts. You would stay in the precinct until the show was over. And then they would release you, but they would keep the shirts. So
So all the Cuff in New York City had really cool concert shirts.
My guys were quite smart. You know, back in those days, if you went to Kansas City, you could buy a peddler's license. And it would cost you $20 or whatever it was. And so even though the shirts were bootleg, they were peddling legally. And so it created this difficult situation for the police because they really couldn't bust them for selling. So, but you couldn't do that in every show. But my guys were in every show that you could think of. And so they knew which cities they could buy a license in and which ones they couldn't. And so they owned tons and tons of licenses. But that was my early days. And it was a 24/7 job. I was in the factory probably 18 hours a day because I was a technical guy who knew nothing about screen printing. My degree from college, I have a fine arts degree with a major in painting, minor in printmaking and drawing. And the one thing I refused to do when I was in college was that stupid thing called silk screening. I never took a class. I did etchings. I did stone lithography, which I loved. The whole idea of this mesh moving around and say, it was like, no, I'm not doing that.
That's like, hilarious.
On you sometimes.
Well,
I did do the, I missed the very first ISS show because my partner went to it. Other than that, over the years, I missed two more ISS shows because I was in a hospital for one and I was in Japan for the other one. Other than that, I've been to every show. So I've missed three since the shows ever started.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. But I guess that's also why everybody in the industry knows you, because you were always there. It seems odd not being at shows, doesn't it?
Oh my, you know, I came home from doing a show in Egypt on March 4th. And outside of that, I did a little road trip where I went to Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma to see a shop in each one of those states. And I did a quick fly into Ohio and Pennsylvania to see a shop in each of those. That's been all my travel since March 4th. Normally, yeah. I'm on the road close to 200 days a year. Right. So it's been rough on my wife. She's had to deal with me. She's learning how to cook and how to bake and all that stuff, because what the hell else do you do at this point, right?
Exactly. So Charlie, you mentioned being in Egypt. How many countries have you consulted in over the years?
No, it's fine. So I don't know how many. I've got to actually count how many countries I actually did work in, but total countries that I've been to now is 86.
Wow.
And of course, I've covered all 50 states and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, et cetera. So I'm looking to hit 100. I'm kind of hopeful that I can do that.
Well,
if it doesn't stop, I'm going to be stuck in Colorado. Although I may be coming down to visit you. We're thinking of moving to Arizona.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's
I'm tired of snow and my knees are blown out, so I can't ski. And it's like, okay, I need to get out of here.
Well, it's here in Arizona, we have summer and then we have Uber summer and then we're just back into summer. So we're just in summer right now.
We don't have snow, and that's a big thing.
Hey, if you want to see snow an hour and a half away, you can go skiing. Right. So
wonderful. But you know, this has been a great industry for me. I know you guys have been around quite some time as well. And it was kind of interesting. I was doing the ISS show in London. I don't know if you guys knew that they had done shows in London.
I don't recall that, but
It was about 1980.
Okay. And I was just getting started.
Okay. So I'm at the ISS show in London. And the show is over, and the guys who I'm very friendly with from London, it's a Sunday, show is over. At that time, pubs closed at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, the show didn't end until about six. And so the big question was, where can we go for a drink? And of course, these guys, being alcoholics, knew all the right places to go to. So about 20 of us followed them to a wine bar where they were serving red tea. Well, white tea. And so, of course, but I met Scott and Pat Fresner at that event, actually. And so during that event, it was kind of funny. Pat came up to me and said, "Hey, I understand there's a club downstairs. Why don't we go down and check it out?" "Great, let's go down." We go down and we're looking around. And Pat turns to me and says, "I think we should leave." And it's like, "Yep, I'm with you." Sunday night in London is gay night. Well, Pat wasn't getting many looks, but I was getting a hell of a lot of looks. It was not a negative thing, but the Brits have a very interesting way of doing things. They just accept certain things as what they are. In any event, came back upstairs, chatted with Scott, and he said, "Hey, you think you can put in an advanced class for me?" Because up until that point, Scott had never printed more than on a four-color manual. And I said, "Well, you know, I have automatic. I certainly understand that, and I know how to do artwork and stuff." So I was hired to put in his advanced class. And so that's where the brochure came in that I posted online that had his picture on the back and my picture. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you ever saw it, but the two of us could have been twins. As we got older, we definitely didn't go quite in the same direction. But back then, very much so. But in any event, I posted that online, and Mark Gervais saw it and asked if I could send him a high-res copy of it. So I scanned it and sent it to him. And he then went ahead and colorized it. So this is what we have. Let's see if you can see that.
Oh my gosh, that brings back a lot of memories, Charlie.
Oh yeah. So he colorized it. As a matter of fact, I have it on. So I called Scott. I said, "Hey, did you get a bunch?" Pete from Same Day Tees got in touch with me and said, "Hey, can you send me Mark Gervais' colorized piece, and I'll do T-shirts of it?" Because Pete was an alumni of the school as well. So I sent it to him, and he printed up a bunch of shirts. So I have quite a few of them. And I was talking to Scott. So he's had his heart problems. Obviously, if you don't know, he had open heart surgery. I've had my heart problems with AFibs and stuff. And so I wrote him the other day, said, "Why don't we sell these shirts and take the money and donate it to the American Heart Association?" So if anyone is interested, they can certainly get in touch with me. I think I probably have about 15 shirts or something like that, going from small to double XL. And I know Scott has probably the same thing. So if anyone is here, certainly some of the alumni, I'm sure you are, and I'll send one over to you and Aaron, because you both are alumni. Exactly. I have them in black and I have them in ash. And I think they're pretty cool, actually. I mean, I was not a student. I actually taught Spider how to do black shirts in my first class.
For anybody who doesn't know, Spider was a very, very well-known t-shirt designer, graphic designer in the industry for many years. And I know Scott sold his clip art. And the great thing about Spider, Charlie, and I don't know if you knew this, but every year at the U.S. Screen Christmas party, Spider was Santa, because Spider had the long white beard and the long white hair in real life. So the greatest Santa of all time.
Well, and obviously this is one of his designs. It's even signed down at the bottom by Spider. He was great. Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I called on him periodically to help out when I owned a supply house. And so I had a client who was going to do a particular event. I forgot what they call it, where you have the ball on the ground and you're putting it through hoops. I forgot what they call that. In any event, I called Spider. I said, "Hey, can you do a drawing for me that I can use, that I can donate over to that event?" And he said, "Sure." And he knocked out a piece that was great. I said, "I got a question for you. Number one, how much do you charge for something like that? And number two, how long does it take you to do it?" So he was really quite upfront. He said, "I never tell anyone how long it's going to take, because I don't charge by the hour." And he said, "The reason I never tell them what it is, and understand, this is like in the 1980s. He says, "I figure my time at $250 an hour." And I'm thinking, whoa, that's, even today that's serious. But back then that was completely serious. I said, "Right. Well, how long did it take you to knock out this piece?" He said, "Oh, probably 15 minutes. I'm looking at it, and I at one time was hoping to be an illustrator, and I did do some illustrations. I was actually in the 15th edition of the Illustrator Society book. So if you ever get a hold of Illustrator 15, you'll find one of my pieces in there. I as an art director for a magazine, I hired Jack Davis, who is one of the Mad Magazine illustrators, to do a piece for me. And it was a two-page magazine spread. And this is in the 1970s, early 70s. And so he was going to be paid $1,500 for the two-page magazine color image. The day before it was due, he called me up and said, okay, let me go over this with you again, just so I get it right. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I need this tomorrow on my desk. Sure enough, the next day it was on my desk, still a little wet, but and I'm thinking, overnight made $1,500. I would be working on this for a month and maybe getting it done in that period of time. And that's when I decided, you know what? There are things that I can do that are probably worthwhile, but being an illustrator, I'm going to starve to death. So I did do a couple of illustrations, did get them published, but that was not my forte. My forte, you know, like anything else, I'm sure none of you grew up wanting to be a screen printer or embroiderer, et cetera. This is an industry you fall into it, and if you're smart enough and lucky enough, it becomes a career. And I'm at the point now where switching careers is not going to happen.
Right.
Although I am back to painting again. I gave up. I was in a gallery for about 11 years, gave it up because I was on the road so much. Well, now that I'm home, I'm back to painting again. So kind of happy, other than the fact that when you haven't done something for a while, man, do you get rusty at it? Oh, my God.
You know, Charlie, it's funny. When I do my intro classes or seminars in screen painting, I always start with, now, here's your warning. If you stay for the entire seminar, the entire class, you'll never leave. No one ever leaves the t-shirt business. Once you're in forever.
Pretty much.
Just so, like Hotel California.
So one of the things I mentioned to you guys, having been at all these shows, I do have my 20th anniversary button from ISS. The ones that I have a bunch of these pins in the year 2000 and 2001, they gave out pins at the show. So this one is from the Atlantic City show, which is a shamrock because it always ends up over St. Patty's Day.
Right.
And that was 2001. This one is one that they also used to do a show in Canada. So this
ISS did in Canada?
Okay. Oh, yeah. ISS did it in Canada. So this was from the year 2000. And I've got about a dozen of these pins, each one from a different show. There we go. Texas.
That's awesome.
There we go. The map of Texas. Anyway, I have a bunch of these. I should actually take a bunch of photos and send them in.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I collect, I know it's going to sound stupid, you know, the ribbons, the badges from the show.
Sure.
Lanyards.
I can't tell you how many I have because I have a huge box that's full and I still have more hanging upstairs.
Right.
One of the times I've got to go through because I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows I've done, but it's been literally hundreds and hundreds.
Well, I claim to be a road warrior, but I am nowhere in your class.
You know, you do enough traveling as well. I know that. Certainly, you know, both of us do consulting work and both of us do a fair amount of hands-on workshops, which I happen to love.
Me too.
You know, there's nothing like that one-on-one contact with someone or you know, actually working with them and showing them how to do something and showing them how to get a result, even though they wouldn't believe it. So going back to my early days, my first show that I went to was the SPA show in California in 1977. and that was held in the ballroom of the Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim. And I remember I went to the airport about 2 days before the show, or before the show started, went to the airport at night and bought a ticket and got on a plane and flew to California. We didn't know if we'd have enough money for me to get to California and not struggling t-shirt people. And right. So it was kind of like, okay, I rented a room, but I'm not sure I'm going to need it. Talked to my partner and he said, yep, we got enough money. Walked to the airport, bought my ticket, got on a plane. Back then, of course, they didn't kill you when you actually bought a ticket to get on a plane same day.
Right.
Flew to California, got there. God, I don't know what time in the morning, early or late at night, rented a car, and was probably nodding out on my way to the hotel. In California, they had these little things to divide the lanes, and when you hit them, it kind of made that abrupt noise. That's the thing that kept me awake. In any event, I went to my first show. To give you an idea, that was the big SPA show before it was called. I've watched it go from SPA to SGAI.
SPAI, wasn't it?
Screen Printing Association International. No, it was SPA first, the Screen Printing Association.
Right.
Okay. Then it went to SGIA. Today it's SGIA. So it was SGAI for a period of time, and then it went to SGIA.
And now Printing United.
To give you an idea of how that was a big international show, and that was the only show. It was one show a year, and that was it. If you walk slowly, you could probably see the show in a half hour. And spoke to everyone in every booth, it would probably take you 2 hours to get through the show. But I did get to see my first automatic there. And so I have never missed an SGIA show since 77.
Wow. There have been a couple of cancellations over the years. There was Katrina. There was 9/11, I remember.
Yep. Yeah.
But
Katrina, 9/11, and of course, this year.
Correct.
But right, other than exactly. that, you know, if the show was on, I was at that show. And some fun memories, some not so much fun. The St. Louis show was probably the one that hangs out there more than any of the other ones. I closed my biggest deal ever at that show, which was about $500,000 deal when I owned a supply house. And the night before I was supposed to speak is when Don Newman had the big stretch devices party, which was huge at that time.
Right.
And so we went to that and, of course, ate and drank like crazy. And I was with all the ISS people, and about 2 a.m, we're in a stretch limo and we told the driver we want to go to White Castle, wanted to get some sliders. The limo pulls up to White Castle. We order a bunch of sliders, which we all managed to knock down. And the next morning I was meeting with the client that I had closed a deal with. And I was still drunk from the night before. But, you know, when you have a big deal, you show up. So they're having breakfast. I was kind of trying to drink coffee. I'm not always very successful. And so during the course of the conversation, they said, don't you have a seminar to do? And I looked at my watch and said, yep. And it started about 3 minutes ago. I had to go across the street. And as I walk into the convention center, I hear them paging Scott Fresner to take over on my seminar because So I go in, and you know, in those convention centers, how they can open up room, you know, they have the room dividers. Well, they had opened up a divider and then opened up another divider and opened up. I had 500 people waiting for me.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And they couldn't find you.
And so I finally got to the room and I'm thinking, this is absurd. Actually, the official count was 350. Because they couldn't even figure out any more than that. But I thought what was funny is here I am in front of this room showing a shirt and talking about it. And I'm thinking, you know, the guy in the back, if he had binoculars, wouldn't know what the hell I'm talking about. But,
gosh, I remember those days where there'd be hundreds of people in the seminars.
You know, what was so bad was my lips were sticking together because I was so dried out from the night before. But I do remember all of those. And those parties were great. They were just, there was a buzz to it that just doesn't exist today. Partially, I think, because there are so many shows, which I love. I mean, I'm not knocking that. But when there was, you know, you had the ISS show, which was once a year. You had the SGIA show, which was once a year. And that was it. No one went to Europe. No one did Vespa or any of those shows.
Right.
And so the excitement level was huge. And, you know, you got a chance to see all the people that you hadn't seen in the last 6 or 8 months.
Right.
And then, of course, ISS started to grow further and further. And I started their workshop program in May of 83. And I remember it was myself, Mark Vennett was doing the marketing mm-hmm. one, and Greg and Barbara Camara were doing the embroidery part.
Right.
And they said, you know what, we're not going to put it on with the show. It's going to be a standalone, and we're going to do it in Atlantic City to start with. Here we are walking with dryers and with presses through the middle of the casino.
right.
We were setting up full things. It was a 3-day situation. And so we got there about 2 days early to set up. And I remember 3 presses, 2 dryers, washout booth. I mean, we really did have a whole deal. And I remember the first one had about 23 people in it. Atlantic City Community College has a whole casino in the basement to teach dealers.
That's where they
took us the first night, which was really cool because there were certain things about gaming that I didn't understand. You know, shooting dice, yeah, I know how to throw the dice, but I didn't understand the table, and so we spent time on that. But that was the kickoff to the workshop program, and we did it in Atlantic City, we did it in Reno, we did it in Atlanta. Atlanta had 75 people sign up. You know how tough it is to have 75 people for a hands-on workshop?
Right. Print your shirt, step aside.
You know, fortunately, we had 3 presses, but what was funny was I had one guy who took 3 of my, who came to the first 3 sessions. And it was like, are you stupid or what? I mean, you've been here for the 3rd time. I would think at this point, you have enough get to your wall and you've heard this enough times. So no, I pick up new things all the time.
But he just wanted another t-shirt. Hey Charles.
You know, yeah, that's still the thing that amazes me. You know, you go to the shows that we all go to and someone is giving away a free t-shirt. And you have people online to get a t-shirt. It's like you didn't see enough t-shirts all week long. You knew
in public. Right. Right. Well, hey, Charles Warros has a question for you. He said, I bought a bootleg shirt in 1995 at a Van Halen concert in Albuquerque. Ever since the first time I heard Charlie talk about his bootleg days, I've wondered if he printed that shirt.
Okay. So the answer is I did not.
Okay.
I started a company called Great American Screen Designs back in July 1st of 76. And the very first shirt we did was Operation Sail because we're in Brooklyn, New York. And I printed those personally on long print tables. I didn't even have a manual or an automatic. I did buy a manual. I used it for one job and it never was touched again because I needed 100 dozen shirts out. And I'm thinking I need them out by this evening. 100 dozen manual, 5 color. Yeah, that's not going to happen on a manual. So the next day I went and I bought an automatic. But the reason I know I didn't do, and now it could have come out of my old factory, but probably didn't. I had my factory from July 1st of 76 until 1981, where I came into the 2 partners that I had, dropped the keys from my car on the desk, told them to get my name off the SBA loan, and left. And so that was the end of my bootleg days. They never did take my name off the SBA loan. By the way, at that time period, do you know what the rate was from SBA for a loan?
Huh.
It was 22%.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I can go to the guy with the bent nose down the block and get a better deal than I can from the government.
Right.
But
he's more than willing to loan me money.
I do have a book that has a bunch of my stuff, and I know Charles is on my. I do Charlie's Corner every other Tuesday through Zoom, and actually this Tuesday coming up, I have Alan Howe as the guest.
Oh, awesome! Oh, super.
And I should get you guys on as well, but I do have a T-shirt book that's a guy's collection and has a lot of my shirts in it, and a lot of shirts that came out of my factory after I left, and I can identify them because they're all baseball shirts, but they're all black body. And then it didn't matter what the sleeve color was because we had them made for us. And so we'd have pink sleeves, yellow sleeves, et cetera. So anything that's in that book with a black baseball shirt with a colored sleeve came out of my old factory. And I remember going to Anvil and asking if they would make baseball shirts for us with a black body. And they said, no. And it's like, I can guarantee you, thousands and thousands and thousands of shirts, and the answer was no, we don't want to do them. Okay, so we went and found somebody and had them done on our own. But you know, so talking about that, one of the things I mentioned to you guys, so t-shirt retailer did a contest called the digging through my stuff called the Great American T-shirt Competition, and the winners. And so there's a bunch of people listed. Andy Anderson is one of them.
Right.
Et cetera. But we ended up taking third place twice. So that's the shirt that we did for Union Inc. We did a lot of stuff for Union Inc. So that was actually a Rolling Stones design where we killed off the woman or killed off whoever it was, Jagger or whatever, and put the woman in. Put it all into that. By the way, that is a 5 or 6 color design. Sorry, 5 or 6 colors and one stroke per color. It was a 93 mesh, which you don't even find anymore. But everything right. was one stroke, no flash. So white always printed last because of that. And that's what a lot of people can't understand. But the other one that we won an award on is this Kiss shirt. If okay. you can blow that up, there we go. Yeah. So that Kiss design was done for another screen print company that didn't know how to do it. So they contracted over to us. So that's a legitimate design. And I also entered that in the SPA show in 1980 for the very first Golden Image Awards. And that one won a bronze. And then I have a 4-color process job that won a bronze as well. And so I do have a photo, which I have to dig out, but it's myself, Andy Anderson, and Mark Coudray, and between us, we took gold, silver, bronze in, quote-unquote, the textile categories. I think there were 2 categories, period. They didn't differentiate between light color and dark, 4-color process, simulate, that didn't exist. By the way, those designs, just to give people an idea, those were all done with a combination of hand, camera, a lot of hand stippling, et cetera. That Union Ink design is about 35 to 40 hours of handwork.
Wow. People don't realize that. And that was quite a lofty group that you're in there, gold, silver, bronze. So,
hey, I know.
And Charlie, we're coming down to the end of our hour. I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell people how they can reach out to you. And by the way, we'd like to, we'll put the t-shirts up on our website as well, the US screen shirts. And I'm sure they'll go quickly. Yeah.
I am in the midst of writing my book, which is just a bunch of articles that I've refined and some stories and some photos of some of the older days. And so I'm hoping to have that out in a couple of months. I'm writing about 300 to 400 pages right now. So I need to actually probably trim it down some.
Stop writing.
Exactly. Well, a lot of this is just articles that I've written over the years and I've now cleaned them up and stuff. But anyway, you can get in touch with me. You can go to my website, which is brand new, by the way, calbleepconsulting.com. I have a bunch of videos and articles, free articles, as well as articles you have to pay $5 for because I got to pay somebody to handle my website because my computer skills suck. And I've been told about that. But in any event, you can also email me at drprint@aol.com. I'm easy to get a hold of. I usually post all over Facebook, et cetera. And I do have Charlie's Corner, which is every other Tuesday. Next one will be next week, which is the 24th with Alan Howe. And you guys do a great job. I did watch the one that you did with Scott from Dax and or Scott Ritter, which I thought was really kind of interesting.
He's kind of a pack rat like you.
Pull out some of my old gun stuff, and I've been trying to clean up my basement because my wife is on my case about it. Because if we do decide to move, my basement is in total disarray because I'm a painter. You see one of my paintings behind me from it's probably about 10 years ago. In any event, if anybody, and I know Charles is on and he's popped in periodically, but anybody wants to request anyone, I have requesting for Andy Anderson, and he's supposed to let me know today if he'll be able to do it or not. But certainly I'm digging into some of my industry friends, including you guys, to
absolutely we'd love to come on your show.
For the difference is we have no structure whatsoever. It's whatever you want to do.
Our structure has evolved over the years.
if there are questions to be answered, we try and answer them. If we want to just chat, that's fine. Kind of like what you guys have going here, to some extent, quite as formal as you guys are. But this has been a lot of fun, and certainly, if anybody is interested in the book, I will put it out there. I'm trying to work on a cover, and the guy who's doing it for me keeps putting my face on a cover. It's like, I don't want my face on a cover of a book.
well, let us know when it's available. We'll definitely put it up on our website and mention it here on the show as well. So
actually a lot of fun.
All right, Charlie, thanks so much for being on the show. We always love talking to you, and we will talk to you again real soon.
And down the line soon. Thanks again for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Thanks,
thank
Charlie.
You for all the wonderful information, all the wonderful stories, sir.
Fantastic. All right. Well, hey, I do want to mention that the Reggie Awards, the voting will take place up until December 10th at 5 p.m. Central, since that is the center of the universe. Just go to the number 2 regularguys.com and click on the Reggie Awards and go in there and make sure you're voting. We certainly have had people say, but so-and-so is talking about it on their website and this and that. Well, you do the same. So,
yeah, get on there. And it looks like we may have Aaron back. I'm going to go ahead and see if we can bring Aaron in. Aaron.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see if you hang out or not, my friend.
Hey, that looks like you had a powdered donut. What?
I may have been eating. Exactly. So we'll see how long the internet hangs on this time. For whatever reason, I've moved home. I've moved out of the co-working space, and I thought everything was great. I've done other things here, got the studio set up, the whole nine. Yeah. And then whatever happens. So we'll figure it out.
Playing Call of Duty. That's what the
there was nobody home, nothing on. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? So yeah, back to the drawing board.
Don't worry, because it's not like you needed to be there. I didn't need to be there. Heck, Terry barely needed to be there. So, you know, we could just listen to Charlie for a day and a half. I mean, I'm listening to his book, and I'm an embroidery guy. I have no skin in the old school screen printing game. And I'm like, yeah, I am here with my money in hand. Take my money. I'll read Charlie's book.
Exactly.
All right. Well, so let's, is it five things time? Should I push some buttons here?
Oh my gosh, is it five things time? Yeah, let's push the buttons. Let's make it happen.
All right, let's do this.
It's hard not to dance. It's time for five things, folks. That's got some good beats going on there, Aaron. I love the five things intro. Come on. And today it is going to be five reasons you should share, teach, and engage right now. And this is something that I have been talking about for a long time. Essentially, I think that no matter what stage you are at, you should be sharing online, you should be teaching, and you should be engaging. And the thing is, most people come to me and will say, hey guys, I'm a beginner, or maybe I've been in the business a long time and I feel like, you know, maybe I'm not in touch with certain stuff anymore. And believe me, I've been on both sides of that and felt that before, but I think you should definitely engage and teach no matter what, whether it's online, social, or hopefully one day again, when we all get back to the trade shows, this is something we should be doing too. But here's the deal. What are my five reasons? Number one, within the industry, you are always at a place that is interesting to someone. Either you are a little bit further on than someone who's before you, or you have a fresh perspective that somebody who's been in the business for a while will get something from. So sharing your story, your authentic story, and documenting what you do is interesting all across the board. Number two, you should establish a narrative and tell your story. I know Terry loves Mel Lay, and she's one of the people who really kind of started this on Instagram. Sharing your story and documenting as it going on absolutely lets you have that run up. Everybody loves a story. We were sitting there listening to Charlie tell his story of how he got into the business. Everyone loves a story of how you got where you are getting, and it really makes something of your personage, your brand. And that's the third reason. It humanizes your brand. It makes you a person, not a company, and people buy from people. So whether you're talking about being a subject matter expert or whether you are trying to talk directly to customers, people buy from people to make emotional decisions. Humanizing your brand is a big deal. Fourth thing here, teaching helps you learn. You have never gotten so crystallized on an idea than when you realize you're going to have to show someone else how to do something. Teaching helps you finalize your idea and get it ready so you can learn. So if you're still learning, perfectly fine. Teach someone as you're learning, help them to avoid your pitfalls. And the last one is connecting with your community helps your mindset. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go with the fluffy part of this at the end. I know, guys, I'll go ahead and kind of get a touchy-feely here in the only way we can in 2020 and say that virtually connecting with your community still helps your mindset. It helps you kind of get into that space. And the way we love trade shows and love talking to Charlie and love talking to all of you guys, this kind of helps you to get your support system together. And on top of it, let me tell you, I've been really tuning into Aaron's Small Business Saturdays, if you haven't done so, and seeing what a supportive community can do for folks, the people over at OSG, it is incredible. If you're not in those communities, you should be engaging, teaching, helping, and listening. And that's five things.
Cool. Wow. I'm gonna hit the button one more time.
You can't see that I was dancing behind the screen. Yeah. You'll never see it. I'll stop every time right before we get on.
All right. I'm done pushing buttons. Eric, can you share with us what you've got coming up today?
Yes, I do. I've got the take up coming up today. And today we're talking about files and how to prepare them to a degree. And here's the thing. Essentially, it's when you don't get what you think you're trying to get out of your embroidery file, what is happening and why? We're going to talk about some logical ways to handle your output and to understand more about what goes on behind the scenes with software that ends up with a file that works a certain way that you might not have expected.
Excellent. Excellent. And I just realized in the banners that you have all of your five things up and ready to go. And I totally missed that. I apologize.
Totally not a problem, dude.
I'm a terrible producer now. I'm out of practice. All right.
Hey, but you're thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no, totally. Thank you for sharing and engaging and connecting with all of us to discuss that. The other thing we can talk about is, of course, you guys know, I have been talking about this for a while, but actually had people recently wanting to get back in on the classes again. And my Demystifying Next Level Digitizing webinar is still available in recorded form, better running, bolder, more beautiful embroidery, the faster cycle from concept to completion. And you can get that at bit.ly/EricDD. And that is still available now. And actually got some recently had some people asking me about the class and talking about it. And I was actually really heartened to find out that people are really getting something out of it. So yeah, I know some people aren't really about the online way to do these things and all, but I'm telling you, it really is the second best thing to being to at a trade show and doing a full seminar.
Nice. Excellent.
Right.
How about you, Aaron?
As Eric mentioned, we're in the middle of a series happening right now over at Small Business Saturdays. Tomorrow is the sixth week, actually, of a 10-week program, not a 12-step program, Terry, a 10-week program. I do remember the SGA St. Louis show as well. And so, you know, maybe we all need a 12-step program after that show. Sixth week, and tomorrow we're going to be talking about identifying your breakthrough goal. So this is a great program that I've really enjoyed kind of sharing because there's actually a video that I share from Jack Canfield. This is based on the Success Principles, a book by Jack Canfield. And so it's a really cool opportunity to let you guys hear from him And then we get to discuss it and, you know, share ideas. There's a worksheet that goes along with it. So hopefully people have been downloading those and filling out the worksheets and just doing that. Going through this process, it's a lot about, you know, kind of getting clear in your life and stuff like that. But I think it's huge for businesses because it's all one and the same. You know, your life is not siloed. So if we can get clear on a lot of things, it helps us also get clear in our business. So that's why I'm really enjoying sharing these things on Small Business Saturdays. And we'll keep going till we get to the 10th week. And hopefully it'll help folks clear up a lot of things. But so that's what I've got going on. That's happening tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I'm back to the 8 a.m. Central Time slot. I'm going to try to keep it there. It seems to be work best for most folks. So again, check that out over at liveosg.com or at facebook.com/oursuccessgrouppro. And I think that's about it. I'm actually heading out for the week of Thanksgiving. So I will be traveling. And so that's what I've got going on.
Fantastic. You know, that SGIA show in St. Louis is where I ran into Scott Fresner in the airport shuttle. I was on my way to Dad's weekend and at University of Kansas. Both my sons are Kansas grads, and I was on my way out there for Dad's weekend and got offered a job, Aaron, to come and be sales guy under your tutelage there.
Sales dog, I believe.
Sales dog.
The official title was. Yes. Oh, that St. Louis show, man, it caused a lot of things to fall into place.
Exactly right. Nice. Who knew?
Wonderful. Terry, what about you? What do you have coming up here?
I'm in the midst of working on some new training concepts with both our friends at Atlas Screen Supply and at Workhorse Products, and not ready to make an announcement on it yet. But
wait! I have to do this, Terry. It's just the three of us. You can just tell us what's going on.
Totally.
I got to do it to Terry. Awesome.
But other than that, watch for it at terrycombs.com under tour dates.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll check that out. I was trying to see if I needed to write anything down. I still have it on my schedule to buy Terry's book.
And I am working hard on my book. And here's my coffee mug
since we're doing this
of judging judging people's grammar because I am the grammar police. So.
Christine needs that mug as well. So,
and by the way, Christine's saying, she mentioned, by the way, Small Business Saturdays on the Women of Business podcast this week. So thank you very much for your support, Christine, as always.
Yeah.
And she says that your program is a great one. Speaking of Christine, so though I know she definitely wants to ask me about my book mug too. So
awesome.
You made that into a t-shirt, Terry. I have to know.
Yeah. As Terry says, can I make a t-shirt for that? You know, is that how this thing goes, Terry?
I should do shirts.
I should do shirts. Yeah.
I got this great idea for a t-shirt. Hold on.
All right. Well, I think we've come to the close of another show, guys. I want to thank both Josh and Jamar for their time to start us off and some exciting stuff happening over there at Impressions Expo. So make sure to go check them out at impressionsexpo.com and tell them the two regular guys sent you. And we also want to thank Charlie Tablieb for his time. Absolutely. What a great conversation. You know, I unfortunately couldn't be a part of it, but I really enjoyed sitting back and listening myself and being a fly on the wall there. So really amazing what he's done over the course of his career and such a great and giving gentleman. So I appreciate him.
You know, Aaron, unlike talking to me, you and me talking, every time I sit and talk to Charlie about these things, I learn something new. He has a new story. mine are kind of on repeat now. But
yeah, I could tell all of Terry's stories by this point.
It's all right. It's like the guy who went to Charlie's seminar three times. I get a little more every time, you know?
Yeah.
I should do that sometime at dinner. Listen, I got to run, but Aaron, would you wrap the story up for me?
I could just hear it.
Fishing story.
Here we go.
Hey, we also want to thank you, Eric, for being our show producer and also our emergency co-host today. And everyone, you can find Eric at ericcampbell.com and at The Take Up.
Yeah, make sure you check out The Take Up today at 2:30 Mountain Time.
The only time that matters.
Yep, exactly.
I got it in fast. Once again, yeah, join the reciprocators. The rest of my little crew is there. And do we ever have a good time?
Yeah, indeed. I'm still waiting for the regulator reciprocator battle royale. So
it'll be hard because there's a lot of crossover. People will have, it's just one of those people, you know, across battle lines, brothers fighting brothers. It's just, it can't be good. We just band together and take over other people's podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. I say, pick a side. Pick a side.
Don't do it, Terry.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, we're well into bonus time, but next week we're actually going to be off celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. So the week after that, on December 4th, Terry and I will be turning over our microphones to Christine Shreve and the Women in Garment Decorating Group. The panel discussion that she's going to be having is going to be with the Reggie nominees in the Women in the Garment Decorating category. So really looking forward to hearing from them, and hopefully they'll all be stumping for the reason. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they will all get along glowingly, but the topic will be how to support women in 2021. So I think it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited to have all of those amazing women taking over the two regular guys. Always a lot of fun. So looking forward to that coming up on the 4th of December. So
And that's awesome that it's all the nominees for Women in Garment Decorating. That's super. So I'm Terry Combs. They are Eric Campbell and Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the two regular guys. And
here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.